Hallelujah. Good to see you tonight, and good to see the people on live stream. I was messaging with a lot of folks this week, and I'm saying, I haven't seen you in a while. They're like, well, we were there Sunday. It's like, you were there? Oh, no, we were live streaming. I'm like, oh, I didn't see you, but you saw me. Okay. So if that's you tonight, hello. Praise the Lord. Let's pray for a moment, if you will. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for the opportunities we have to hear the word. We can live stream and we can go back and watch the archive. And we thank you, Father, for the opportunities we have to hear the word many ways through the internet, just so many ways to read the word, that we can have books in our houses. For most of human history, people didn't have books, but we have books. We have Bibles in our houses. Hallelujah. We thank you for that. Tonight, Father, we thank you also that you have come to live and dwell among your people. And tonight we can recognize the fact that you're here with us. You're here among us, that there's something that happens when we gather together. You're with us in a special way. And though you never leave us, you never forsake us when we gather together. There's something that dynamic between us where you are here and you manifest yourself and you make yourself and your presence known to us. We thank you for that tonight. Father, we just thank you that you've been so good to us. I thank you for all the testimonies I've heard in the last few days. Thank you for providing for people even supernaturally. Father, we thank you for taking care of Brian when the devil came to steal and to kill and destroy and he didn't have his way because you stepped in and intervened and you kept Brian. And we thank you for that tonight. Father, we're so grateful for all that you've done for us and all that you're continuing to do for us. And we are grateful people tonight. And as we turn our attention to the matter at hand, Father, we ask you to reveal yourself to us, to reveal your word to us. Make for each of us, Father, make this known to us in a way that we can understand it, in a way that we can apply it in our lives. And we thank you for doing that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, one thing that I've noticed in living my own life and then in, pastoring and ministering to people, it's that life seems to kind of have ebbs and flows. You know, it's like seasons, maybe you could call it, but sort of an ebb and a flow. And there are times when you get really busy, and there's times maybe where there are a lot of distractions, and there are times certainly when people seem to be under a lot of stress. Am I the only one ever has these kinds of times? And so one thing, though, that it seems is that there are times when people are in a place where they're very stressed and distressed, and some people just seem to live there in this place of being stressed and distressed, and maybe they get a little relief. And I mean, just in the last week, I've had two different people talk to me about burnout, and I think that's a term people use. I'm not sure if it's a medical term, but it's a term certainly that we hear. And I'm just want to propose to you tonight something a little different and something that's not going to lead you to burnout, and something, in fact, that's going to lead you away from burnout. Something that's going to lead you away from, having a dry season in your life. Something that's going to lead you away from, a time of stress, when you're, anxious or worried, or even a time of despondency and despair and grief. This will lead you out of that tonight, what we're going to talk about. But I propose here at the beginning, before I start arguing my case for you, I just propose that a lot of times, and I say this because I've experienced it, but I've seen it with other folks a lot of times, that people don't recognize a lot. Let me just put it this way. We run around and we treat our symptoms. We have these, I have conversations, particularly, I'm just going to be honest, particularly with women. I'll say this because I think women have maybe more responsibilities in life. At least that's the way I tell it. And, a lot of things that, at least if it's making noise, we notice it more than some men that we live with. But anyway, so there are all these things that are happening that are around us. And sometimes, again, when I talk to people, they're looking at how can I relieve the stress? How can I get out of these situations I'm in? How can I get the pressure off of me? What kind of, I need to find a book or find some kind of, I need help in some way. I gotta get some relief. And we're looking at the symptoms of things that are happening around us, the things that are going on, and we don't realize that the real problem that we have is that we've lost our joy. And I don't know if you've even thought about joy recently. I don't know if that's something you ever think about, joy. I don't know if you would say, let me ask you this. If you aren't, how many, you know, don't raise your hand, but just think about this. Are you enjoying life right now? Because a lot of people live lives that they don't enjoy. And they have seasons of life where they're just not enjoying life. And so that's a question. Are you enjoying life? And that's a good indication of whether you're experiencing joy. And some people, I think they've just kind of accepted that they're not going to enjoy life, that life is pretty hard and pretty tough, and that's just kind of how it is, and you just try your best to survive and not get beat up too bad and try to make it. That is not the abundant life that Christ Jesus has come to give us. He's not come to give us a life to survive. But we should actually enjoy life. Enjoying life. So I just want you to think about that for a minute. Can you say you're enjoying life? Because what I propose tonight is that oftentimes when we're not enjoying life, we're looking around for, well, it's his fault. Well, it's this situation. Well, it's this bill. You know, it's this thing that's happening. We look at all this. It's the job. It's all the pressures. It's because I told them I would serve on Team Good News, and Lord knows that was a mistake. It's all these things we try to make it, when in reality, it's because we've lost our joy. We've lost our joy. Now, y'all know from Nehemiah chapter 10, I guess we can read the scripture. Nehemiah 10, it's a really famous little section. This is actually the verse where this phrase is from. In Nehemiah chapter 8, actually, verse 10, it says, "Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat." Sounds pretty good. Nate, you liking this? "Eat the fat, drink the sweet." I know you liking that part, Nate. "And send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." For the joy of the Lord is your strength. How many of you have heard that before? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's more than just a cute little phrase in the Bible. That's more than just something so we could, you know, make banners or have bumper stickers or t-shirts. The reality is that the joy of the Lord is your strength. So we could say it this way. When you're not experiencing the joy of the Lord, you're weak. Or how about this? When you're weak, is it because you aren't experiencing the joy of the Lord? But see, we look around and say, well, it's because of this thing and it's because of that thing. It might be because you have lost your joy and you're not living life in the joy of the Lord. I'm just throwing some things out here. Now, a couple of weeks ago, one night I was ministering, I can't remember, but I remember I read these verses to you. At least I talked about them. Colossians chapter 1. These are some verses that I have been, I told you about writing them on a card, because I have been praying these verses. Now, you don't know this, but I have been praying these verses right here for you. Every day I've been praying for you, and I've been praying you want to know what Susie's doing for you? She's praying these verses right here for you. Not that one, but some other verses. This verse in Colossians chapter 1. And I've been praying it. I have to give a testimony. Can I give a testimony in the middle of a message? Y'all, I've been praying these verses. I told y'all several weeks ago that there was some things going on and I was concerned about some situations. And so instead of worrying, fretting, having anxiety, I decided to don't have any anxiety about anything but to let my request be made known to God. And so I did that based on these verses. Y'all, in just the last week, I've had, y'all, I mean, I wish I could tell you one of the situations, just a complete about face. I mean, a complete about face. It was something I was very concerned about six weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago. And just a complete about face. In fact, after I had, you know, I had a 2.5-hour conversation with somebody, Matt was with me. We talked some things through. At the end of that, Matt and I are both going, how in the world did we have such an about face? What in the world possibly could have happened? And then I remembered Colossians chapter 1. The Lord, he actually answers the prayers of his people. This is an awesome scripture. I'm telling you, if you're concerned about somebody, this is a good thing to pray for them. It says, verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That'll fix most that ails you right there. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, woo, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering, with joy. So I'm reading that one day, and all of a sudden, those three little letters at the end just jump off the page, with joy. You see it? With joy. And so that strengthening that he's talking about, it comes through joy. It comes with joy. With joy. So we can't leave joy out. And I think sometimes it's a little word and it's kind of a fuzzy word. Maybe it's a word we just use, you know, we put it on Christmas cards or, you know, but it's not really something we readily identify with. But y'all, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when we aren't walking and living and experiencing His joy, we are weak. And I'm going to tell you, you ain't got time to be weak. And not only that, Psalm 45 verse 7 talks about the oil of gladness. So not only do you need joy for so you'll be strong and resilient, you can stand, have long suffering, patience with joy, but you really need the oil of gladness working in your life. Because oil, I know very little about machinery. I'm going to be honest, if Ronnie Mooney were here, he could tell us, but I know very little about machinery. I can barely get the blinds up and down. In fact, we don't even have blinds at our house for that very reason. I'm just not very mechanical. It's okay. I have other good attributes. But that's not one of them. But I do know this. I do know oil is really necessary if a machine is going to work properly. Things need to work together. And I understand a little bit about oil just from times I've been to have a massage. Any of y'all ever had a massage? Now, that might help you with your joy tonight. I mean, I could prescribe that for you. If you're feeling anxious, worried about anything, do what we're going to talk about, what we're talking about here tonight, but get a massage. But here's one thing I found getting a massage. They oil you down. Because when they're rubbing on you, like, you know, it creates a friction. It will hurt after a while with all the rubbing, but they lather you down with that oil. And boy, they just glide right on by, just gliding. And they can really work your muscles and really, but they get away with so much more when there's that oil between you and all they're working on you. And I found that the oil of gladness, it really helps in your relationships. You know, how you work, what kind of work environment you like. I know some people just like real order, let's get the work done. But personally, I prefer a work environment where we're going to have some fun. You know, I'm all for have fun now, work later. That's kind of my motto. But I like the idea that we're going to laugh. In fact, I have to tell you just honestly, you know, people have different kinds of prejudices. I could share some of mine with you tonight because I talk about that sometimes about racial prejudice. I'm going to tell you, I have a prejudice against people who don't like to laugh. I mean, it's the truth. I'm just going to go ahead and fess up here. I'm trying to be, but it's just something when people don't want to laugh, I just feel like, what's wrong with you? But just that, you know, just the oil of gladness in our lives, whatever you're going through, it just makes things easier, doesn't it? When we're, you know, when we're getting along and we're having a little bit of fun, you could be doing an awful task. But if you're, you know, have some oil of gladness, things will go better. Things will be smoother. You'll get more done with less friction. Oil of God, that's joy. That's the joy of the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, joy is not a feeling. It's not about, oh, I'm feeling joyful today. The joy of the Lord is not a feeling. Now, the joy of the Lord will produce feelings, but it is not a feeling. And so you don't wake up and feel kind of gloomy and like, well, it's what Susie said. I've lost my joy. I just don't feel it today. No, joy is a spiritual force. It's not a feeling. And your feelings can be changed by the joy of the Lord. You can be changed by that. So just remember that as we go through this. Now, here's the scripture I want to read to you tonight, because this is something just in my own life, you know, and just walking with the Lord. This is something that's helped me so many times in my life to sort of keep track of where I am. To keep track and keep on step, and so I don't burn out. So I don't, you know, grow weary in well-doing, so that I don't, you know, go through a desert place. This is something that I keep in mind. And I kind of use it as a gauge in my life to see where I am and how I'm doing, so I can make adjustments as I need to. And it's in Romans chapter 14 in verse 17. And this passage is a lot about the law. And a lot about, you know, behavior, and they're sorting out some things from the old covenant and the law of the old covenant. And then what are we going to do now under the new covenant? What should we be doing? What are we looking for? You know, is it, I don't lie and, you know, or I only lie three times a day, or, you know, what is it? And a lot of the things from the old covenant were based on, you know, eating and what you could eat and what you couldn't eat. And there was just a lot of debate about things like that. But here in verse 17, Paul's writing and he says this, and he just kind of, I just love this. I love verses that just bring clarity instantly, because some things are real fuzzy, and he just suddenly, just this stroke of inspiration. And he says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking." And you could say it this way, it's not rules and regulations, because that's what the eating and drinking was about. The kingdom of God is not about all that. The kingdom of God, I love this. You should write this down. If you don't know this, if this isn't like something you think about on a regular basis, this is something good for you to meditate on, something good for you to add to your life, because this will help you. For the kingdom of God is about these three things: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Those three things. Now, here's what's really important about those things. These things tell us how you're doing with righteousness, peace, and joy. That tells a lot about what you're thinking about, what your perspective is, what you're meditating on, what you're letting rule and reign in your thinking. Like Lindsay read earlier about setting your mind on things that are above. If you would set your mind on things that are above, you would live in righteousness, peace, and joy. But see, a lot of times in our lives, I'm just saying, I'm talking about every day. We're at Midweek Boost. We're talking about everyday life. I mean, y'all showed up in the middle of the week. Like I've told you many times, we don't give out gold stars in the Midweek Boost. That's only on Sundays. This is a little extra over and above. You're just hoping that God's noticing and that there's an angel make a note for your heavenly record so you can get, you know, extra rewards for Midweek Boost, because we don't give those. Just a little disclaimer for those of y'all who are waiting to get your card stamped. Well, joy, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's just talk about our everyday lives. Here I'm living and I'm feeling bad about myself. Insecure. If I'm feeling insecure, I'm feeling intimidated by life or people. I'm feeling rejected. These are things people deal with all the time. I'm feeling anxious around other people. Well, those things are all a sign that I'm not living in my righteousness. You know what else is? Guilt. Some people live with enormous guilt. Guilt tries to come after all of us. Shame. These are all indications. When those things are bothering me, harassing me, those are the fiery darts that are coming my way, I know I'm not walking in my righteousness. Doesn't mean I'm not righteous. It means I'm not aware of it. I'm not dwelling on it. And I'm not living from a place
of righteousness. You know what else righteousness is? Righteousness is my position in Christ at the right hand of God. That's where I rule and reign. So when I'm in a place where I'm feeling defeated, when I'm feeling like a failure, like I can't move forward, like I don't really have options, that's not ruling and reigning. And that means I'm not living in the kingdom of righteousness. I'm not dwelling on that. I'm not aware of it. I'm just somehow or another, I'm missing out on what Jesus has done for me. That's just all in righteousness. And then the next, peace. Peace, if my peace is disturbed. It's not what God has for me. Whatever it is that's disturbing my peace, the power of God needs to be applied. I may need to pray, like I just shared with you a moment ago. Something, it was a situation I was dealing with, and it was taking my peace, kept me up all night one night. Well, that ain't God. That's not the life that Jesus came to give me. So it's disturbing my peace. So what do I need to do? I need to do what Philippians tells me. I need to pray. Don't be anxious about anything. I need to make my request known to God. And then I need to get involved in thanksgiving. Peace. And then joy. So if you aren't enjoying life, if you don't feel like you have anything to rejoice about, these are all joy words. If you're not experiencing that force of joy that strengthens you in life, you're missing out on what the kingdom living is all about. So don't let anybody tell you it's about other things. It's about this. Righteousness, peace, and joy. So that's just a really good thing to keep in mind in your own life and look at your life. You want to see if you're really living in the kingdom? Well, the kingdom of God's righteousness, peace, and joy. Is this something God has for me? Well, is it producing righteousness, peace, and joy? Is this something that's good for us? Is it producing righteousness, peace, and joy? That's good. That was just completely free. None of that was, you know, even part of it. But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, there is something I want to bring out here in the scripture, and it's this, that there's somehow, some way that your joy and righteousness are connected. Because I don't believe that the list of words were just arbitrarily flung in there. Just like I don't believe that the fruit of the Spirit were just arbitrarily flung in there in no particular order. I believe there's an order there. We read from 2 Peter a couple weeks ago when Grace and I were sharing, and there seems to be an order there in those words. I believe the same thing is true here. Righteousness, peace, and joy. And it's really, if you understand righteousness, it makes complete sense. Because righteousness is what, that is ultimately what the gospel is about. It is the message of us being made right with God. So until we're made right with God, there is no peace. And certainly nothing to be joyful about, being made right with God. But because we are made right with God, we have peace. So that's what comes first. Righteousness comes first. Righteousness, and then from there, there's peace. And then joy will spring up. So I believe there's this connection then between righteousness and joy. And in your life, again, what we're talking about is there's a lot of things that are going on around us at times. There may be even seasons where we're just not experiencing joy. Maybe we need to look at, are we living in righteousness? Are we letting, you know, again, the enemy bring to us and then stay with his thoughts he's suggesting to us? Are we really dwelling on things that shame us, that reminding us of our past and our failures and our shortcomings instead of reminding him who we are? And if we'll dwell on who we've been made in Christ, just as you just meditate on that and you think about that and you declare it and you thank God for it and you pray that over your life and you speak of that and you think of it and you find other things that support that, as all that process in your life is happening about your position in Christ and who you are, I tell you that sense of righteousness will just push out. The Bible talks about that. It'll push out sin. How you overcome sin is by living righteous, not cutting back on your sinning. It's embracing your new life in Christ. That is the new man, righteous. So there's this connection between righteousness and joy. And there's something about it that just, I tell you, in the early church, you see it. You see whenever the gospel came to people, that somewhere after that, you learn about their joy. The Bible talks about, y'all remember what happened on the day of Pentecost, and Peter got up and he preached and there were all those people saved. And then right after that, it says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness, which is an extreme joy. The word translated gladness there is just an overwhelming joy, with gladness and simplicity of heart. So their joy wasn't coming from what they had. Their joy wasn't coming from, oh my goodness, this is my favorite meal I've ever had. It's simplicity of heart. It wasn't from, oh my goodness, I got a new car, or some great, you know, financial blessing happened. No, they were just thrilled that they had been made right with God. The gospel is the news that God has settled the score between us, and we're no longer guilty. We're no longer on the hook for all our trespasses and sins, but he's wiped them all away and there's no record of it. And not only that, he's accepted us and made us his very own children and given us the same position with him that Jesus himself had. Well, you start thinking on that and things clear up pretty quick. But this is not, let's just be honest, these are not the kinds of thoughts that most people dwell on. We dwell on the cares of the world and what we don't have and the tough times and the bad moments, or maybe even some good moments, but not the reality of who we are in Christ and what the gospel's done for us. You know, when Philip went down to Samaria in Acts chapter 8, this is a great verse. It's in the Bible, this great little phrase. It tells about how he went down and he took him Christ. He preached Christ to him. What does that mean? He preached the gospel to him. Christ, him coming, how he came to make things right between us and God, how he bore our sins on the tree. And you know, when he was nailed to the tree, he did that for you and me. He shed his blood. There was no more need for any more sacrifices. All that's done now. Jesus has made us right. Hallelujah. He preached Christ to them. And then as a result of his preaching, there were great miracles. People were healed. And then it tags this little line in there. It says, and there was great joy in the city. I love that. There was great joy in the city. I believe there should be great joy at your house. There should be great joy at your house. That tension that a lot of people live with, that's not how life should be. You should enjoy life. And you should have great joy at your house. And when people come to your house, they should be met at the door with joy. They should say, boy, I enjoyed myself. And just when I'm around them, when I'm around Justin, I just enjoy it. Why? There's joy. If you live in the presence of God, Arlene's looking at me like, I'm not sure. Yes, by faith. I'm teasing y'all. Just the joy of the Lord would be there. I had a situation a couple years ago. There was someone doing some work for us in our house, and we could not get rid of them. You ever had that? We have that often, honestly. People come in to do work in the house, and you can't get rid of them. And it's like the work is long done, and you're still here, you know? What are we doing now? I'm not paying for this. In fact, you should be paying me. It's not that. And so, of course, you know, have these deep talks with everybody that comes there, gets a big talk. And then so the person just opens their heart and says, I just have to tell you, I've just never been around people like you. You're just really unusual. I've just never been around people like you before. I'm like, you know, we paid you already. No, we're here to give life to. It's just interesting, you know? And that's how it should be for all of us all the time, that when people encounter us, they encounter the joy of the Lord. That is not the reputation Christians have. I mean, I've certainly been in places where people found out. And a lot of times I don't tell people what I do because there's just a number of reasons I don't tell people what I do. But it's just a lot of conversations I can avoid. But when people find out, they just change entirely. They get, it's suddenly like the starch in their clothes just suddenly took effect. You know, like they were all in the, and you know, and you can tell they're flipping back through, you know, everything they've said to see how many, you know, times they swore. Suddenly everything changes. Because why? Because that's how they think about Christians, that we're just really, you know, what? We're just really, you know, just uptight and we're just, you know, rule mongers and we're just, they don't think of joy, but that's what the kingdom is. All right, we got to move along. Y'all keep distracting me. No more distracting me. John chapter 15. I'm just going to read just some verses. Why don't we just go down to, verse 9. John chapter 15, we'll go down to verse 9. It says this, as the Father loved me, this is Jesus talking there in John, this is the Last Supper. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Y'all remember Ed Elliott was here Sunday before last. He was talking about the love of God. He was, y'all missed out because he spoke at Cata for 2.5 hours last Tuesday night. My Lord, it was rich. It was rich. It was so good. He talked about God's, oh, it was good. Sorry. Just got to go. Just telling you it was good. He just shared some things about the love of God that just melt your heart, you know? God's love for us. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. These things, Jesus is saying, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Y'all see this? Jesus wants us to have joy and for our joy to be full. Now, I mean, again, let's don't raise our hands, but could you say tonight that your joy is full? Well, we're just looking right here. That's the will of God for you. Jesus came to show us the Father. He's the express image of God, and this is what he's saying. He's expressing forth. I'm telling you this stuff because I want your joy to be full. That's the will of God for you, that your joy would be full, that his joy would remain in you, and it would fill you, and it would be full. That's the will of God. But I believe this is somehow tied to what he was saying just previously. And what is he saying? He's saying, abide in my love. Dwell and make your home in my love. Well, that starts by recognizing how loved you are. That God loves you. And that God cherishes you. And that God looks out for you. And that God's got you covered and that he's on your side and he's for you and he's not against you. Is this the kind of stuff you talk to yourself about? This is Romans 8, man. This is the Bible, New Testament. That God is for me. That God, his great love has been not only extended towards me, but he shed it abroad in my heart. He's just poured his love out in me. He loves me so much, he sent Jesus to take my place and bear all my punishment, pay the penalty for everything I ever did or ever will do wrong. Jesus took all that. But he didn't just take all that. He gave me his life, all because he loves me. See, and then when I abide in that, the only way I can abide in that is to think about it, dwell on it, keep it centered in my life. The love of God, and the more that I do that, the more that the joy of the Lord will fill me to overflowing, till I'm full. And when I am abiding in his love, you know what else? His love flows out of me. Because there's not room for anything else. His love is just flowing out of me. So now I'm loving you. Y'all, I have noticed because I've lived where I didn't love people and I've lived where I have loved people. It's a whole lot better life to live lovingly. You have anybody in your life like you don't want to see them, and if you were going to be around them, you kind of just like avoid them, and she better not look over here at me. She looked. Well, I'm not getting near her. You know what she did to me. It's how people live, y'all. You could just walk right up to them and say, "It's so good to see you. I'm sorry if I've ever hurt you. If I've ever caused you pain, please forgive me. Now come here." Isn't that a lot better way to live? I'm pretty sure it's how we're called to live. But I'm going to tell you this, not only are we called to live that way, it's a lot better way to live. If you live that way, joy. Abide in my love. Joy. Joy. Some of you have lost your joy because you don't live in love. You're not convinced God loves you. It's very difficult for you to extend love to somebody else. It's hard to do, you know, hard to give somebody what you don't have. Just abide in his love. Just spend some time meditating on the fact that God loves you. Just read 1 John. Just read John right through here. Get on down to chapter 17 and find out that he loves you as much as he loves Jesus. I'm telling you, you do these things that I'm telling you tonight, and joy will come into your life. You'll get your joy back, and you'll start enjoying life more. Now, let me just tell you, the reality is that most people, and by people I mean believers, most believers will hear something like this, and they'll think, "Yeah, that's kind of good. That's good. Yeah, I saw the scriptures. That's good." And you walk out the door, and you'll go back to trying to sort it out and fix it all those ways that seem right to a man. You'll just go out and deal with life in your own way. And you won't, because, I mean, it was a good message. I didn't fall asleep too many times. But you won't really do it. Y'all, these are the things that really make the biggest difference in your life. This is it, man. Save money if you can. Work. That's good. Study. These are good things to do. Make your bed. Brush your teeth. But more important than all those things, live in his love. I tell you, we'll get really furious if our kids leave the house and they didn't brush their teeth or go to bed and they didn't this or that. What about living in his love, people? Do you remind them every morning? Hey, I just want to remind you before you go off out into that ugly world. I want to remind you whose you are. I want to remind you how much God loves you. You need to know this before you go face that geometry test. You got to know about the love of God. You got to know how he's for you, and he's not going to forsake you. And whenever you're in over your head, he's your deliverer because he loves you. And even if you did it and brought it on yourself, he's still there because he loves you. This is abiding in the love of God. There'll be more joy at your house. Hallelujah. 1 John 1. Well, you got to read 1 John. I'm just going to start reading in verse 3. I have other verses I like. 1 John. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Right here. You know what will really bring fullness of joy in your life? Fellowship with your Father. That's part of abiding in love, fellowshipping with your Father. Oh, but no, Susie, I got to get these things off my plate. I got to cut back on my schedule. I got to get a new medicine. This is what's going to fix me. No, fellowship with the Father fix a whole lot more. Fellowship with the Father. Y'all, that is the privilege that the gospel affords us. That's what we have. I'm going to tell you, none of us understand what a privilege it is that we have fellowship with the Father. He's our very own Father. We can talk to Him. He will talk to us. We can know Him for who He really is. It's awesome. Our joy will be full as we fellowship with Him. And then, let me just read this to you, then I'm going to tell you a couple things. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. This is something Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost, by the way. In your presence is what? Fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence is fullness of joy. Now, I just think of it like this. You know, the thing you have for strength, to be long-suffering and to endure, the thing required, according to the scripture, which I can show you, and showed you some of it, I could show you a lot more about it. The thing that's required is that you must have joy. Now, there is a great filling station with which to fill your big joy vat, your joy tank. You got a joy tank. And sadly, many people live with an empty joy tank, and they're weak. And they live defeated lives, and their faith is, and they give up. And let me tell you, and they're just sourpusses, or they're mean, or they're just anxious. But God has, His plan has always been to keep your joy tank full. 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 Now, we've had several times in the last several years where a pipeline broke. A couple times this happens, or for one reason or another, coming from the west, where the main supply of oil comes into the CSRA, comes in through this pipeline. And so how many of y'all been to the pump and there was no gas at the pump? That's happened. I don't even remember that happening, you know, very often before, but it seems like it's happened a couple times more recently. Well, one thing I know is for the car to go, it's got to have some gas. But for the car to have gas, I got to put gas in it. So I have to go to the source of the gas. I got to find a pump somewhere that's going to have some gas to put in my tank. So people would drive around from place to place, and then on social media, they would alert you, oh, so-and-so, Greg's Gas Plus over on Highway 25, they have gas. And we all race over there. This is the way it works, you know. Well, I'm telling you tonight, you are in great need of joy, and I know where you can get it. And there's a boundless supply, and it's actually a supply just for you. It fits it comes just in your size and in your color. And it fits really well and feels oh so good. It's His joy that He has for you. And it comes from one place. It comes from His presence. So when I go to Him, when I love on Him, when I let Him love on me, when I start fellowship with Him, and I keep myself in a place of continual fellowship with Him, His joy is just filling me, filling me, filling me, filling me, filling me. You know that weariness that you come across in your life? You know those weeks or months where you're just too tired to do anything and you're thinking, well, I need to get my thyroid checked. I need to get my hormones situated. I need to. Maybe you just need to spend some time in His presence. I got to get more help around this house. I got to get them kids straightened out. I got to get that old guy of mine off the sofa and get him doing something. Now, maybe you just need some fellowship with the Father. That's the last thing you do. That, and you need to quit eating sugar. But, I mean, the last thing that you do is can I get amen? That'll help too. You need a fellowship with the Father. fellowship with him. Now, how do you do that? Let me tell you this. If in his presence is fullness of joy, now I don't know about y'all. I'm kind of a overindulger. If I find something I like overindulge in it. I mean, you should go to my house and see how many blueberries I have. Am I right, Jamel? Jamel says, I have never seen so many blueberries. I really like blueberries. I have a whole freezer devoted to nothing but blueberries. You think I'm kidding? Well, I found something better than blueberries. It's joy. So why don't I just overindulge in joy? How would I do that? I would just abide in his presence. I would just dwell in his presence. I would just stay continually in his presence. I wouldn't just come to church and visit his presence on Sunday, maybe on Wednesday. I would take his presence home with me. I'd fill my house with it. I'd start my day with it. I'd end my night with it. I'd fill my car with it every time I got in my car. And then I would just keep it going wherever I'm going. Just stay in his presence. Well, Susie, how do you do that? Oh, it's really not that complicated. You know, Matt isn't here tonight. Matt is in Nashville tonight. He's up with Dave Ramsey and some other people at a meeting up there. So he's not here. But y'all know he went to Nigeria. And he was gone a long time and it got longer. Y'all, we've been married 30 years. I'm just not used to him being gone. I'm kind of used to him. We work together. We parent together. You know, we just kind of got that together thing going. We got married so we could be together. When we were dating, it was just like I had curfew at ORU, and it was just like, just to pull us apart, me go up to my room so I could be there by curfew. It was tough, man. Thank God there was curfew. Curfew was a good idea. But you know, we just really long to be together. And you know, I really like, and funny enough, he really likes to be with me. I really like to be with him. He really likes to be with me. Y'all, when nobody else is around, we don't have any problems between us. I mean, we've talked about that many times. The only problems we ever have involve y'all or the kids or our families. But the two of us, we get along just peaches, man. We just like to be together. And when he was gone, I just realized, when he's gone for that extended time, I just realized, man, it's just weird not having him around. And I was just thinking about how different my life is. See, when he's around, I'm continually aware of his presence. I know where he is in the house. Even if he's not right in the room with me, I know where he is in the house. And then I don't go very long without bothering him. I'm a botherer. I admit it. Nate will tell you. I bother him when I'm here. I just bother people. Like, I'm just always looking for just a little FaceTime. Give me a little something here. Okay. I can't just go sit in a, you know, at a desk for hours like some people can. I'm just a botherer. And that's how I am with him. He'll be at his desk and I'm in there like bothering him. We sing. We can't sing at all. Well, I can't sing. He can actually sing, but he cannot. I mean, he cannot remember the words. He just completely butchers it. I could tell you the funniest stories about him and the words, but I won't, because I want to stay in his presence. But I'm just saying, you know, that whenever we're together, whenever he's present, it like when he was gone, I just realized, you know, I could sleep in the middle of the bed. So it's great, except he's not there. And I missed them. So there were things, when I wasn't in his presence, there were things I could do. You're like, I didn't have to think about what does he want to eat. But I kind of like, you know, eating with him. And you know, who am I going to put my cold feet on at night to warm them up? You know, there's just things that are necessary. You know, and here's the thing. When Matt's around, he's so much help because, like, he carries all the bags. He opens all the doors. He just takes care of everything. I just provide the entertainment. That's the deal we have. He's the grown-up, and I'm the entertainer, and we get along great. And, you know, and as we are in fellowship, we talk. And it's bizarre how he will just start talking and he has not mentioned who he's talking about, any of the circumstances. He's just like in the middle of some thought somewhere, and I actually know what he's talking about. We're just like, how it's just going, you know? And if I'm concerned, I'll go in and I'll say, should I be concerned about this? I do that. I'll go and I'll say, Matt, blah, 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 blah. Should I be concerned? And he always tells me no. I don't even know why I ask, because he tells me no. Always tells me no. Just like he always tells me whenever I go and say, should I have done that? He's always like, absolutely. I mean, it's too late now. He knows how to stay in fellowship with me. He's very good at that. You know, and when I'm, it's great. He gives me the biggest blueberries. Every morning at breakfast, we divide them up. I get the big ones. He gives me the crunchy fries. That's the only kind I like. Don't eat them very much now. But I'm just telling you, there's so many benefits for being in his presence. And I really miss him when he's not around. But it's just a talking. And that's the way we should live and abide with God. We just talk to him. We listen to him. You know, if I'm in the house and Matt's there, I kind of keep my ear tuned. Because he might yell for me. He might say something. He might sing the wrong words and I have to correct him. I'm getting better at that, though. I do laugh, though. You know, I'm aware of where his movement is. I'm just aware of him. You know what I'm talking about? Well, it's the same thing with God. We're just aware of him. We just keep an eye, an ear, just listening, keeping our heart open towards him. We're just talking to him. You just think of something and you go to him. You don't have to wait to have a special prayer time. You're just, what do you think about this? Anything that crosses your mind, you just immediately get him in on it. You don't wait till you have a special meeting next Thursday at 2. You just go ahead and check with him right then. You're just in this, and sometimes he brings up stuff. He'll start talking to you, and you're like, well, I was busy. But he wants, and he'll talk to you if you'll listen. It's just a communion. You just draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. One really great way, if you don't know much about getting in his presence, worship. But I'm going to tell you, you don't have to worship to be in his presence, not in the sense of come to church. Worship literally means to kiss, toward. You're just having that loving, tender fellowship together, like Lindsay and her cat. It's that openness, that receptivity, and you just keep him on your mind. And just remember that he's there and include him and acknowledge him and talk to him and listen to him just like you would with a person. And the more you do that, the more you'll sense his presence. I love that song we sing about the Holy Spirit, and then there's that line in there that says, let us become more aware of your presence. I think that's a really good line, because so many people are like, come to us, God. Come over here where we are. He's here. We just aren't aware. But he's always with us. He said, he promised us, I'll come and I'll abide with you forever. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. We're just not aware of his presence, but he's here. So it's not like we're saying you need to, you know, try to talk God into being present with you. No, he is. You just need to up your awareness. You just need to get your mind off of everything that's all around you all the time and do the scripture that Lindsay read in the offering. We need to set our minds on things that are above. We need to think about him every now and then. And we might, you know, just like in a relationship when you say, you know, well, what would you like to eat, or where would you like to go, or what would you like to do? That might be something you would consider doing occasionally with the Lord. Is what would you have? What do you want? What's on your heart today? What would you have me to do? Boy, what a strange thought. Because we have such full agendas. Well, I got to get this done. That'd be great. Susie, that's great for you, but you don't understand what I got to do. I got all these kids, and I got this life, and I got these bills, and I got this. You don't understand how it is. I mean, people tell me that. So many words. I'm telling you, the reality is try this for a while. You'll see it's a whole lot better. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Father, we thank you tonight for your presence. We thank you tonight, Father, that you love us. We thank you tonight, Father, that you have drawn near to us. Hallelujah. We just take a moment, hallelujah, to acknowledge that you are with us, your presence is upon us. And Father, I ask you to teach us all. Take us by the hand, lead us into the fullness of your presence, and teach us how to live there and how to abide there. Because we all come from different places. We're all out in different places. There's different demands on each of us. And Father, so whatever their context is, whatever they're dealing with, each person, Father, I ask you to show them how in the midst of what they're doing, they might be running a big, big machine. They might be just constantly dealing and talking to people all day. They might be, they might be in an operating room and under great pressure. Father, whatever, wherever they are and what they're doing, Father, I pray that in that place, you show them how they can abide in your love, continue in fellowship, live in the fullness of your presence. Hallelujah. And I pray that, Father, about our church, everybody, it's part of Good News Church, we'd all grow in this, living in the presence of God, experiencing your joy, the fullness of joy, that it would transform us and change us. It would enable us to enjoy life, but Father, it would bring about so much more. Hallelujah. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good night.